Please be seated. Have you ever had something extraordinary happen to you? Just take a few seconds and think about that. Actually, it's kind of a silly question, isn't it? Because I think the obvious answer is yes. I suspect that for most of you, you came up with something almost immediately, and if we had taken a little more time, you would have been able to mentally click through several other personal extraordinary experiences. And if I polled you about what they were, I think the responses would be quite wide-ranging. In many cases, extraordinary events are quite personalized. Let's take a quick look at a couple definitions for the word extraordinary. Number one, going beyond what is usual, regular, or customary. And number two, exceptional to a very marked extent. Well, that's pretty broad. If we were to add a connotation to it, to narrow it down a little bit, even talk about it as being life-changing, I think that every one of us would find that we have already experienced an extraordinary event in our life. And what's extraordinary to one person may not be to another. Consider those of you who are being recognized as soon-to-be graduates of Bethany Lutheran College today. Some of you may have anticipated this moment for quite a long time, and this would not be considered an extraordinary event. Others of you may actually have surprised yourself and that you are now at this point. The fact is that in many cases, extraordinary events are relative. But regardless of the experience or experiences, whether they're personal or whether they're general, our first response to them is pretty much universally the same. We want to tell as many people as we know about that. Today we focus our attention on something extraordinary that is neither relative nor restricted to some select group, but in fact is applicable to all of us. Our text lets us see this through the reaction of a group of shepherds in response to a most extraordinary event that occurred one night while they were tending their flocks in the Judean countryside. Our text selected for today is taken from Luke's Gospel and is a portion of a very familiar reading of the second chapter. I would imagine that most of us have a lot of this memorized. Obviously, the chaplain must have been thinking about that because he didn't print it out in the bulletin here this morning. But seriously, this is a familiar piece to us. But let me give you just a little bit of background. Keep in mind that the shepherds have been watching their flock that night. They had done this many, many times. And then suddenly angels appeared to them and announced that Jesus had been born. So we're going to read the text, verses 16 through 20 of the second chapter of Luke, but I'm including the preceding verse to that chapter 15, or verse 15. And so we begin. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard about it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I think you would agree that this is truly an extraordinary set of events by anybody's standard. To top it off, God orchestrated things that evening in a way that's far different than any way that we probably would have done this. You know, we've heard people joke about somebody born and raised in a barn. But here, God had his only son, the one who would redeem all humanity from the bondage of sin, born in a lowly stable. On top of that, he chose a spectacular heavenly display of angels to announce the great news of the arrival of his son to a very unlikely group, a group of shepherds. He didn't make that announcement to powerful political rulers or intellectuals or wealthy, successful entrepreneurs. No, he utilized common people who had little or no formal education and were considered near the bottom of the local socioeconomic class of the time. This is not the stuff of today's multimedia and entertainment empires. While we might think that the shepherds were an unlikely bunch to be the first to hear the gospel proclaimed, God didn't. He used unlikely people like this as his instruments time and time again. He used shepherds, fishermen, tax collectors, all of them to be an integral part of his eternal plan. The Apostle Paul tells us through his writing to the Corinthian church why this is the case. We read, "Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." One thing is certain, these simple shepherds were certainly not confused or disoriented that night. They knew exactly what the extraordinary element in all of this, what was going on in front of them, was. It wasn't the fact that the angels appeared to them, although I suspect that was a pretty amazing set of circumstances. Luke tells us that they initially were terrified, but it wasn't that they ultimately reacted to. It was instead the word concerning what had been told them about this child. The angel that first appeared to them that evening said to them, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." This was an extraordinary piece to the events that night. They saw him, the Savior of the world. He would be the one that would free them from their sins. This is what they immediately went out to tell everyone that they could. They had heard about this promise from their families and in the temple since they were little. And they wanted to share this immediately because it was fulfilled before them right then and there. Now, the reaction of those with whom they came into contact is surprising, given the background of the messengers and actually the message. We would certainly have understood if those who heard what the shepherds were telling them ran the other way, or at the very least would have thought the shepherds were a little bit crazy. I mean, think about it. Angels appearing to them in the middle of the night. A baby born in a stable, lying in a manger. He's the Savior of the world. But our text tells us that those that heard it were amazed. This provides real encouragement to us to share the good news. If God chose shepherds, lowly shepherds, to be the first to tell their friends and neighbors about Jesus' birth, we should have every confidence to be able to do the same. Luke tells us very little about how the people responded to the shepherds, only that those that heard it were amazed. Luke doesn't elaborate on it. It's really not important. The fact is, God used shepherds, and he will use us. You may consider yourself perhaps an unlikely individual to be telling people about this good news. But if he used the shepherds, he certainly can use us. We find in Isaiah the following. That is God's word, will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. This promise is true whether you're a shepherd or a college graduate. You know, the shepherds had a big night. They had witnessed something most extraordinary, and they shared it with a lot of people. The promise of Christ the Lord had been fulfilled. It is no wonder that they returned glorifying and praising God when they returned home. Here at Bethany, we have the distinct opportunity to hear that extraordinary news every day here in chapel and in a variety of other places on this campus. And whether we return to our dorm or apartment, or we leave here with a bachelor's degree, we should respond the same way as the shepherds did. Hurry off, spread the word about this child, and return glorifying and praising God for all that he has done for us. Today I have one final thought for those of you who are graduating. Who among you may go on and do something extraordinary in life? You know, a number of alumni have done some amazing things throughout the years. Any one of you could be included in that list, but only time will tell. There's one thing, however, that we know with certainty for all of you. During your years here at Bethany, you have come to understand the extraordinary grace of God through the gift of His Son. And in whatever vocation you enter now or in the future, just like the shepherds, you have the same privilege they had to direct others to His amazing truth. God's blessings to you all. Each year at this time, we have students that have completed the requirements for the bachelor's degree here at Bethany Lutheran College, and some of them are unable to be able to be part of the formal graduation that we have in spring. So we feel it's important to recognize this group now, although we certainly want to invite all of you to join us in May. And so today we take a few moments to recognize this group. And so to begin this, I would ask our Vice President for Academic Affairs, Ron Young, to come forward.
And to all of you, we would like to, as President Bruss said this morning, recognize these students who are December graduates for all of their accomplishments and actually finalizing, assuming that they pass their finals next week, finalizing all the requirements for their degree. These students, as you mentioned also, will be invited to return in May, and we hope many, if not all of you, can do that. It's a special day and will be a little bit more spectacular than it is today. At this time, I'd like to ask each of our graduates to come forward when I read their name, their academic major, and any academic honor that they will have achieved, and they'll receive what we refer to as a recognition scroll at this time. Obviously, they will get a diploma in due time. So I would ask the front row, if you would just line up here, and we'll bring you across the stage. And I would ask all of you to remain on stage. And also, if you would hold your applause until we can recognize the entire group. So, first of all, Jenna E. Bone, Exercise Science, graduating cum laude. Wade John Dollarshell, Business Administration. Lynn A. Feldhaus, English, cum laude. Benjamin J. Geisfeld, English. Joy Hagen, communication. Amy Beth Halverson, psychology, cum laude. Paul Huber, biology. Alan Kelly, communication. Watson C. Lambrecht, Exercise Science. Christopher Marshall McClure, Communication, cum laude. Lindsay Renee McCutcheon, Exercise Science, is unable to be with us today. And Jordan Andrew Miller, Elementary Education, also is not with us this morning. Keith Andrew Peterson, Sociology. Ann Peterson, Business Administration. Ann Sawatsky, Communication. James Schwein, Business Administration, cum laude. Alexander James Smith, Mathematics, cum laude. Sarah Magdalene Sori, Elementary Education. Eva Ellen Voss, Elementary Education, summa cum laude. Amanda Jo Wilkie, Elementary Education. And Brittany Ann Walter, Studio Art. On behalf of the faculty, administration, and staff of Bethany Lutheran College, we congratulate these graduates. Congratulations. A couple of quick announcements. I would remind all of the students that we are delaying third and fourth hour. Third hour will begin at 11 o'clock. Fourth hour will begin at 11:45. So keep that in mind. And then also immediately following, there is a reception in the lobby of Meyer Hall. And I would suggest there are some better ways to get over there. In case some of you don't know, there is a tunnel which you can access by going down one level. And that will take you right over to Meyer Hall without going outdoors. That door also is a little closer, so if you choose to go out that door or whichever door you choose, that's the farthest. So anyway, again, we congratulate you and thank you very much.